Everybody doing good? Everything's going good?
Mm. We're good. How are you? Big date tonight?
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of you. Nice.
Yeah. We're dating each other. Jay's
got his... Oh. Yes. The secret is out. I'm so happy. I'm like a new man. We're finally out there. Living the world. People were like, you're going through some kind of crisis. And I just like, no. Man, this would just be too much.
Love is a crisis.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Razzblitz podcast. I am your host, Matt Bowie, and we are Zachless tonight, but joining me is Jay, the head honcho of the football side of Razzball, and T-Hole Bedict also joining. But Jay, you've been away for a while. What's been going on, man?
Nothing much. I've been kind of gathering myself, mentally preparing to be here in the stands with T-Hole. T-Hole and I are now equal men, guests on your show. It'll be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. How you been, T-Hole? I missed last week when you were on with Zach, but I listened to your digs about me being out of shape, so that was nice of you.
I am reborn. I am here. I am back. It's an honor to be on your show, but what happened here? What have we reversed? Has Jeff, we just given Jay, and once I was, I guess, technically... part co-host, even though Jay does all the work, does everything. So, but it's nice to be back on here. I'm reborn. I'm ready to get everything popping. I'm ready to see Jay as an equal. I can't. He's my superior, and I will continue to treat him as such. Yeah, man, even Matt, no matter how hard it's impossible for me not.
Matt's the driver now, man. We're the passengers, and we're doing it in the carpool lane. You see what I'm saying? Razzball's the carpool lane. It's a whole metaphor that I've been thinking about. So,
awesome. Yeah. All right, Jay. So one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on today is your rankings have started to trickle out over the past couple weeks. So I did want to ask you about a few players. I want to start with some of your quarterbacks.
Man, nothing trickles out of me, dog. Nothing trickles. Okay, go ahead.
So you're not Usher, then?
No.
Oh!
Good, man, good. All right, yeah, I wanted to ask you about Drew Brees. You had him ranked... Yes, you had him ranked number 5, and pretty much the consensus is number 3. So you have names like Matt Ryan and Andrew Luck ahead of him. I just kind of wanted to get your thinking on that. Is it the age, or what is it with Drew Brees?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Honestly, I think if you're in the top 5 for quarterbacks, you're not really... You're kind of nitpicking at that point. If you're like, you know, it's like, should I do Andrew Luck or Drew Brees? I'm okay with either. Should I do Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, you know, it's like a certain degrees of difference, but that degrees is really a low amount. So, you know, out of this group, there are reasons why I like the other guys more than Drew Brees. Like you said, age is a factor. I really, you know, I don't think the Saints are going to be very good. Sometimes that benefits quarterbacks. I think you could see that benefit Brees, or you could see it hurt him just because... You know, let's be honest here. A lot of his points are, you know, trash time points, which happens to a lot of quarterbacks, more so with Drew Brees. And sometimes he'll, you know, throw 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but he may also throw 3 interceptions. You know, a big problem I had with him last season, I'm still hurt by it, is, you know, depending on your playoff formats in fantasy football, he may have, during your fantasy football playoffs, throwing up 2 goose eggs, 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, 2 games in a row, which might have sealed the deal for your team. So I think people have to be aware of that a little bit. And also, it's just Matt Ryan, I think, proved himself to be a more stable elite passer than in past seasons. I've always liked Andrew Luck. I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, I have Tom Brady number one. I just, I'm okay if people want to argue about it with me. I won't give much resistance, but I think this is how I like my order, personally.
Oh, yeah, I definitely hear you. I just, it's pretty much consensus top, or not consensus, but he's thrown for well over 4,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns the past, I don't know, 9-10 seasons, so I wanted to just pick your brain about him a little bit. I don't
see a huge dip in numbers. All I have is, you know, for these pre-draft rankings, this is my preference. You know, like, if I'm in a draft and I see between Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, I'm going to weigh it, and I'm going to say, man, Drew Brees are still going to put up those numbers, but I feel a little bit better going with Ryan. So that's sort of my thinking there.
Gotcha. All right, T-Hole, are you going to be taking Drew Brees at his ADP this year? Do you like to take quarterbacks early?
Are you going to really sit here and question Jay about rankings?
I'm not questioning him. I'm just talking it out, man.
This man is, I believe, finished almost in the top 10 in the nation twice in a row. Why are we questioning him? But, no, I don't take quarterbacks early, ever. The only time I did, it was when I had a Colin Kaepernick session, and we know how that's turned out. So, no, I don't go down that route anymore. But, you know, as far as Brees falling off, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's as consistent as it gets, but, I mean, he is getting older. He did just lose, arguably, his most talented receiver, but it doesn't seem to matter who's out there. I mean, but they did add Peterson. They did draft another running back. They are probably going to try to go a little more to the ground. And again, he's older. I mean, is there more of a chance of an injury finally this year as possible? And, you know, it's tough to bet on the older guys because you never know when the wheels are going to fall off. I still think he'll probably be top seven, top five for sure. I won't be drafting him just because he probably won't be there because I wait on quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do, too. I like to hang around and hopefully get Phillip Rivers in the mid-rounds or something like that. I mean,
you're speaking my language, dog.
Yes, yes.
Is Jay devastated, though, not to get off topic, but Mike Williams, is that going to work out? I'm a little concerned. The Charger rookie receiver.
Back injuries are never good.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for receivers.
That would hurt because a lot of people are loving the Chargers. I mean, some people are looking at the Chargers kind of as a surprise team. Again, not to get off topic, but yeah, I really love if they're healthy, the offense could be dynamic, but that would be obviously a big, big blow to the squad there.
Yeah, and their wild card, I think, could be the defense. I think their defense could be either a lot better than people think or a lot worse. It's tough to gauge what's going on there, but I could see it where their defense actually plays a huge part if they're a good team this year.
Jay's Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Chargers. still weird to say.
Yeah. It's funny, when I see their little team, you know, the three-letter abbreviations, I keep on thinking in my head it goes to L.A. Clippers. I'm like, Clippers?
Right.
Am I on the basketball site?
All right. Kirk Cousins at number 11. Almost 5,000 yards last year. Is the magic gone, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, he's an average NFL quarterback. I'm not too high on him. I'm not too low on him. I have him right behind Rivers, and so that's pretty high praise, I think. You know, it used to be, I think, when I measured above average quarterbacks, I would call it the Andy Dalton line. I think a lot of people probably did this too. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but you know, I think Andy Dalton has regressed a little bit, so I think we can make it the Kirk Cousins line. I think he is the line between an above-average quarterback and then below, you know, after him are probably below-average quarterbacks. And so I think that's where I see him. He's, like, right in the middle. And you could say the same. I think Kirk Cousins is there with Ben Roethlisberger, with Derek Carr, with Dak Prescott and Tyrod Taylor. I think those guys kind of make your median area of the quarterbacks. And, you know, in terms of fantasy, those are probably your lower-end finds. Those are guys you draft towards the end of the draft because you know what T-Hole said about drafting quarterbacks. He definitely, him and I share that, mostly because great minds think alike. But yeah, I mean, that's where I see Cousins as. I don't like Washington's football team in general. I don't dig them that much. The local, you know, I'm here locally, so I kind of pay attention to them a little bit. But I don't know if they build off what they did last season. They certainly can sneak into the playoffs, but I still think that this season, it's still a tough road. It's a tough division for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, T-Hole, I wanted to ask you about Jordy Nelson. I know Jay loves him, but I wanted to get your thoughts on him. Do you think he's right in the Mike Evans, Julio range, top five?
Top five. You know, every
he's
time
got a damn good quarterback.
I always kind of take a peek at Jay's rankings, other people's rankings, and, you know, he is up there in a lot of people's rankings. I'm assuming that's based on the fact that he's had a year to recover and that, you know, still the Packers offense. I'm trying to remember what his numbers – where was he? So last – damn, he did have a big – yeah, how can he not be? He's on the Packers. Yeah. He had 14 tubs last year, almost 1,300 yards, 97 catches. So, I mean, what's to stop him from repeating that? I mean, you have to put him up there after – he's been – other than when he got injured a couple years ago, you know, he's been about as consistent as you can be. He is getting up there in age a little bit. You know, he's 32 years old, yeah. Which is, you know.
Yeah, but that's 25 but speed
in white has never
years.
Really been his.
25 in white man years, yes.
Yes, yes. In white guy years, he's still probably pretty good to go. I mean, will I be drafting him at that kind of ADP? Probably not. But again, I would feel pretty... I mean, he's probably about as safe as a receiver as you could get, no doubt about all that, unless you can get Antonio Brown or something, and or Julio. But Julio's pretty injured, usually misses a couple games here and there, and I guess Beckham also. And but yeah, he's definitely up there. I mean, Evans, I think, could have another monster year. But I would definitely take him over guys like T.Y. Hilton, maybe even over Dez Bryant, and kind of in that area. Yeah, the receiver situation is kind of tough this year. You know, you're kind of basing it off who their quarterbacks are, et cetera, et cetera. You know, somebody like T.Y. Hilton or Andrew Luck, I'm just, you know, I'm very concerned with whatever's going on with this dude's shoulder. I'm concerned he might never be the same guy ever again, so I'll be avoiding any of their receivers. Not to go off topic, but that's what I do.
That's what you do. Jay, do you have anything to add about Jordy?
No, I just would say I think this year, more years than others, I think you need at least one elite receiver if you want to win your league. I mean, sometimes you could get away with getting really good running backs and then kind of mixing it up with, you know, like Demaryius Thomas, and then, you know, take a risky Sammy Watkins type person and, you know, try to win that way. But I think this year, more than any other year, an elite wide receiver is required to win your league. And I think people should keep that in mm-hmm. mind going into the drafts.
Yeah, are you a no running back strategy guy? No, that's a popular strategy.
No, I believe in running back and wide receivers all day long. I just, you know, I like getting my quarterbacks in the mid rounds. I like skipping defense and special teams and kickers, as anybody should be doing. I just like stocking up on running backs and wide receivers because, you know, a lot of people look at your roster and you say, oh, I filled out all my starters by like round 7. But in football, it's different because you're guaranteed to lose at least 40% of your roster in the first 7 or 8 weeks. You know, there's just so much attrition that, you know, a guy who is rich with, you know, I think last season I went running back heavy because in the ESPN Pod Vader League that I won, you know, I went with a Le'Veon Bell strategy in which I just, you know, I had so many running backs because Bell was out on, you know, for the first several weeks that I just bulked up on running backs. And it came, I had LeGarrette Blount on my bench almost half the season, and then I got another injury and I was just able to slip him right in. And then, I mean, I think that is the key of the game right there, just redundancy at your running back and wide receiver positions.
Yep, just fill in the rest and hope it pans out, you know? But yeah, I definitely agree with the wide receiver running back strategy. I mean, it's the name of the game. Kelvin Benjamin, we both love him. You have him in the top 30, so you're thinking that he's going to have a bounce-back season after what happened last year. Do you tell me why? Is it because Cam's going to be throwing the ball more?
I mean, this is a bit more anecdotal evidence, but watching his games last season, you saw flashes. I remember that first game, I think it was against Pittsburgh, where he came back. You couldn't tell he was full speed, but the agility on the guy, the ability, just the raw ability, you can see it flash through from that game all the way. And I know it was like a roller coaster of a season, but you know, these types of injuries, they're hard to get over. So I think this year, along with, let's be honest, the Panthers were a dumpster fire last year for a lot of reasons. And, you know, if they could just kind of get over the fatigue that they had, you know, get over some of the defensive woes on the offensive side of the ball, I think Newton will respond. And I think Benjamin is going to be his guy now that he's fully removed from his health concerns from last season and the season before that.
Yeah, you should be able to get a really good value on Kelvin this year, where he's being drafted. And it's I agree 100% with what you're saying. What do you think of him, Teal?
So, you guys aren't concerned that he showed up looking like Oprah Winfrey after a rough breakup with Stedman? I mean, I'm confused because I'm a huge Benjamin fan, but I mean, this dude, he looks just straight up sloppy out there. I mean, if he was his normal self, I would be, this guy should be like a top 10 receiver, considering his situation being their main target, et cetera, at least down the field, and how explosive he was as a rookie. But I mean, man, last year he started with a bang and then kind of fell off slowly. And then this year he shows up looking like, you know, he's been living at a Las Vegas buffet for the last 4 months, just, you know, doing nothing but eating. He's so I am concerned. I am concerned about Kelvin Benjamin. That's me. I mean, if we see him at training camp time and he's shredded that, you know, 90 to 120 pounds, then yeah, I mean, he's back in my, I mean, he's talent-wise and situation-wise, I mean, he should be like a top 10, top 15 guy. I'm just a little concerned. I mean, I think I was drafting him last year. I probably will do the same again, depending on ADPs and all that. But I'm concerned. This is me, though. I trust you guys more than myself, actually.
Well, then we have a problem, because I trust you more than I trust myself. So we're kind of...
Okay, well, we're just then see where's Zach? All the way down. Where is Zach? What is he doing? Did he have a play or something? Well, a school? Hamlet? What's going
we're
on?
We're gonna talk Game of Thrones tonight. I do want to get right into it, but I do want to ask you about O.J. Howard real quick, because you have
O.J. Simpson, free at last.
Just wait a minute, Teal. Yep. And then we can just freestyle.
We're gonna get to it.
O.J. Howard, you have him 26 amongst tight ends. Is it because of Cameron Brate, or do you just hate him? Do you just hate me for being a Bucs fan? I don't get it.
No, I just want to see some data. I'll be honest, I don't know much about him. I did my own research, and I'm not comfortable moving him up. As people, I tell people all the time, my rankings are not static. They move a lot during the preseason, and they'll adjust. I do like, as you can see, I don't like Cameron Brate that much either. I want to wait and see. I want to see what the coaches say. I want to see how they use him during the camps and preseason ball. But yeah, you know, honestly, half these guys could move up and the other half could move down. That's a given. I don't know what else to say. If you want to fill me in on him, you know, you're the expert of that team. But I'll be quite honest, I don't know as much about Howard as I do about Brate, so I'm a little bit comfortable having Brate ahead of him.
Right, yeah. I actually probably will have Brate ahead of OJ. So kind of to fill you in, it's going to be, I think it's still Brate, as I've written, I think it's still Brate's team in the red zone, Brate and Mike Evans. But I think PPR-wise, OJ will be used quite frequently. But I just don't think the touchdowns will be there. But I think I'm still going to have him in the top 20. But overall, they drafted him because he's an incredible athlete. He can catch the ball great. But yeah, he's going to be used as more of an overall tight end, like kind of the old school tight end and not just the Rob Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham. So yeah, I can definitely see you wanting to see more, wanting to see a little bit out of him before you move him up in your rankings.
I always admit too, I don't watch much college ball. So the only thing I have to go over with a lot of these guys sometimes is their scouting reports. You know, what people tell me, what I read from my peers, generally what T-Hole tells me as well. I usually depend on him to fill me in on the college guys. Because let's be honest, T-Hole's football knowledge is a bit more robust than mine. So, or either that or it's the blind leading the blind. So probably more of that. So.
Probably more of that. That's what we do here at Razzball. All right, but yeah, T-Hole, you wanted to talk about O.J. Simpson before we got into Game of Thrones, so just let it fly.
Did I?
Free at last, free at last.
The juice is free.
Well, you know, the only thing I really mentioned it, I mean, I can care less about O.J. Simpson. I mean, the guy's kind of a scumbag. What's kind of funny to me on Twitter is, you know, a lot of people on social media are like, oh, O.J. Simpson stuck in jail even though he's a for some dumb robbery, even though he was acquitted of those murders. Well, you know, while these, you know, black kids or these youths are being killed by police officer, you know, they're kind of trying to compare the situation or something, and I'm just kind of like, dude, I mean, it's basically been proven that OJ slaughtered his ex-wife and this dude with the goddamn butcher knife. I mean, he had to pay them. Like, he's guilty. You know what I'm saying? He's guilty. Why are people defending him? I mean, I remember the whole chase. I remember the whole thing. I was in Hawaii as a kid. I was remember watching the whole thing. It was crazy. I mean, the guy's a scumbag. I mean, what are people concerned if this guy's free or not? But I mean, I don't want to get into it because then when I start commenting on racial things, then I feel like, is that even my place to talk about it? So well, I mean, I sometimes man, so get I'm myself sure stuck it. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Everything's our place to heal.
It's definitely...
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right.
It's definitely white people's job to tell us about race, for sure. So
yes, that's what I like to do. I like to preach about races, and sometimes it gets me in trouble.
Right. It was such a cultural phenomenon when I was a kid, too. I think we're, you know, the same age bracket. It's just, I'm so tired of it. I think there was a minor part of me that got a bit triggered because... I think during the highlights, during the news, he had the quote during the Pearl hearing of saying he's essentially lived his life conflict-free, which I got a good, you know, trigger out of. But, you know, other than that, it's just I think I feel most sorry for, you know, the Goldberg and the – I forgot the other
– Goldman are, and yeah, Nicole Brown. Right.
And just those families, because they were awarded $33 million in the civil suit, which found him culpable for those murders, and they've received 1% of that, and his NFL pension.
Oh, wow.
His NFL pension, which is $25,000 a month, cannot be touched because it's a pension in that regard. So, you know, $25,000 a month for the rest of his life. It's pretty interesting that he gets to live in that way and not pay what is due. So,
it's a lot of money. You can live pretty extravagantly off $25K a month.
So if at the very least, if people are reminded of a little bit of this injustice and some of the mistakes that were made in the past, I mean, obviously it was highlighted in movies. ESPN did a documentary. We had the FX little miniseries on it, which was well done. So, you know, like I said, it's a cultural phenomenon that will always, you know, remain. It's like those things where you'll always remember where you were on 9/11, and in this smaller case, I think most people remember them watching on TV the little, you know, Bronco chase in Los Angeles. So it's just one of those things. It's interesting, for sure.
All right, we're going to get away from the race relations. As he holds. Yes, it's time for Game of Thrones. Before we actually get into the show, I want to know...
Game of Thrones could use some more black people, don't you think? I mean, what's going on? Okay, never mind. Let's go.
Tell me more, white man.
Yes, white man. Let us
I want to be like that guy. What's that guy, Sean King? He works for New York Times or something, like that white dude that... Never mind.
No, go please on. Go there. Please go there. Please continue.
If it's race related, we need to go there.
It's funny, I'm talking shit, but I'm half white, so it don't, you know.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this guy is a famous... This guy's become quite a, like, famous writer. I mean... constantly talking about black rights and things like that, and I think people even thought he was part black for a while, but then there's some black journalists like Jason Whitlock, and who a lot of other black people don't seem to like either, but they kind of get into it. It's always kind of humorous, but people can look him up and go do some research. I didn't want to get into it.
Like, women I'm friends with or have, you know, whatever, they've thought of, you know, sometimes I'm more feminist than some of the women they know, you know, so I think you can bend that a little bit. You can be whatever you want it to be, so. Game of Thrones, come on.
Let's say Game of Thrones. Alright, I shouldn't have brought up Sean King. I don't want to talk
about Sean King. I just literally have no idea who that dude is. But Jay,
keep going.
Before we get into the show, do you have a ritual that you do before, I don't know, beginning of the season or before every episode on Sunday? I know Sunday's your big drinking day, but do you make special dinner or anything for Game of Thrones?
I don't. I just make sure I have alcohol or, you know, it's kind of a tradition to get drunk during Game of Thrones, and I've kept that tradition through and through. It's helped me through the tough times of the show. I think I've told T-Hole this before, that I hated the show from, like, season 3 to season 5. I think it was just, I felt like it was just, I despised it. I hate watched it. You know, I was just like, Anybody who got killed or any character I liked who suffered something, I'd be like, yeah, well, fuck me. You know, that was just my reaction. I just, you know, but now the show is getting a little bit better. But yeah, that's my tradition, basically. I just make sure there's alcohol involved. And then sometimes if I know, like, I'll say last season to this season, I've been a little bit I've been a little bit happier or a little bit excited to watch the shows, because I know that we're kind of on the swing of things to where, yes, there still be a lot of sadness and a lot of morose events that occur, but things are looking up for the Starks and things are looking up for the characters I enjoy. You know, I'm a Jon Snow guy through and through for some reason.
Bronn, so you were devastated when he died.
No, I mean, I think T-Hole and I did a podcast about this, and I think both of us agreed that he was going to come back regardless. So, I think the Red Wedding, as it should be, was always one that rocked my world. I think a lot of people I know make fun of me for this, but I think it was the Red Wedding that rocked me a bit, and the deaths that caused me the most harm were when the direwolves would get killed. I just can't stand it. It started in season 1 when Sean Bean, Ned Stark's character, had to kill Sansa's because Nymeira escaped. So that really upset me. And then every single one after that, even the death of Bronn's direwolf last season against the Walkers, all of them are devastating. And, you know, so I think Nymeira actually made a cameo. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I think Nymeira is coming back in the next episode, which will make me glee, full of glee.
Did you see it in a preview? Because I know he's still out there,
right?
I don't want to assume the gender, but...
Yeah, I remember, because T-Hole will know more about this, because it's the same way in the book, because I think Nymeira is, like, has a wolf army in the book, which I hope they do here now. But I think in the series, Maze Williams' character, I always have bad character names, but she released her in the River Run area, and so I think that's where she's heading, on the King's Road, because they were on their way back to King's Landing with Ned Stark to become the Hand of the King, and she's on the way back down to King's Landing on the same road, so I think that's why they'll meet up. But yeah, anyhow.
All right, T-Hole, do you have anything that you like to do Game of Thrones night?
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, I usually, you know, go out by myself to a golf course or something, wooded park, get my crossbow, and look for elk to harvest. Usually, you know, try to one-shot, kill-shot, no suffering, eat the heart. Right out of the body, you know, then drop off the carcass at like a homeless shelter or something like that. And then I come home, take about 3 bong rips.
3, not 2.
Goblet of.
Is this
wine.
What you do before Game of Thrones or before you watch Deer Hunter?
And then, but no, I, you know, not really. I mean, I was really excited for this season to start. It felt like it took forever. I was really pumped. I mean, I've been really busy these last week or so. I've kind of been running around. So actually, when I got home that night, I think I've gone to dinner or something, got home, and I'm like, oh shit, Game of Thrones is about to start tonight. This is the greatest day of my life, because it was already a solid day, and then it was about to pop off. But yeah, I definitely look forward to it all week. As far as rituals go, no.
And I gotta say, I gotta say really quick, I just want to say, is my ritual, like my preseason ritual has been a little bit different, because the past couple months, or the past month, I've been seeing a girl, you know, I've been looking at her. That's what I mean by
a
seeing
girl?
No, but she actually has never watched Game of Thrones, so I'm actually restarting the series with her, and it's just so interesting, because I've never rewatched the series, because I feel like you need company to do that, because it's just so painful. But watching it with someone who's never seen it before, which is odd in this day and time, but it's just, it's like this weird feeling, because you're just sitting there, like, watching them, watching the show, like, what is their reaction going to be? Like, how can you imagine, you know, like, I can't even believe what's going to happen once we get to the Red Wedding, you know, because this is, like, a no spoiler.
You have to relive all those emotions.
Right. It's so crazy.
You're a lucky man. I tried to get the last girl I was dating to do the same damn thing, and she just wasn't like into it. We must have watched the first few episodes like multiple times, and she just wasn't feeling it. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure you're the right woman for me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, And then I see all these people on social media like, is it just me? Am I the only one that doesn't watch Game of Thrones? And I'm like, well, I mean, you should be. I mean, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, I don't know why there's. I mean, there are quite a few people that have never seen it, and I don't understand why. But I mean, I don't dislike them for it. I just don't understand it.
No, yeah, I'm lucky.
It was
me and my wife.
No, please
go ahead, Jay.
No, I was just saying, it's an odd feeling. It's really, you know, cause, and not to mention the fact that I'm rewatching the series as we're watching the new season, so things are, you know,
that's weird.
It's like a weird juxtaposition. I'm watching season one at the same time I'm watching season seven. You know, it's just kind of an odd feeling. But go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, me and my wife got into it at the same time,
my
luckily.
Wife.
So, my wife! So, yeah, I never had to rewatch it. I mean, I bet it's grueling to rewatch, like, six seasons of a show.
I rewatched sorry to cut you off, I rewatched probably the first what season are we on? Seven?
Mm-hmm. Seven.
I think I did 1 through 5 like a year or two ago when I was just like either sick or hella bored. It wasn't bad, I gotta say, but
yeah,
it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I'm right at the part where Jorah gets stabbed in the eye. That still saddens me. So
I don't even remember names. So
that was Ned Stark's number one in command in King's Landing when you know they find out that Tyrion's been abducted by Kat and you know, Jaime Lannister goes after Ned Stark and they do the big sword fight. So.
All right, yeah. Like I was saying, the only show I ever had to rewatch with the wife was Entourage, which is super easy to do because it's like there's no emotional toll in that show whatsoever, and they're half hour episodes, so we got it done basically like 2 weeks. But yeah, back to Game of Thrones. What'd you guys think of the Ed Sheeran appearance? Twitter was all up in arms about it. I thought it was like the stupidest thing that the show's ever done, but I wanted to get what you guys thought about
the what appearance?
Ed Sheeran, the redheaded singer.
Yeah, I didn't even know who that was, to be honest. So
really?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce his name? I don't even know.
I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, I was so made fun of because I called him Ed Marine. Because I was,
Ed Marine?
Yeah, I was telling my lady friend, like, look at this. There's this Ed Marine dude. Do you know who this is? And she rolled her eyes and she's like, yeah, she's a famous singer. He's a famous singer. And I'm like, oh, why are these people pissed off at this?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I think it's corny because it's like, you know, this is Game of Thrones, not like, you know, some
it's its own world,
where you're throwing celebrity guests on it. But on the other hand, he's almost, this dude's like almost like English royalty, and he kind of looks like a little. I mean, it's not like he had a bunch of lines; he was just singing. I mean, he kind of looked the part. I mean, if we didn't know he was a singer, we wouldn't have been like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" I mean, we wouldn't have had a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but yeah, it is kind of corny, but you know, I'm over it.
Yeah,
I think.
Go ahead.
I just think I'm the wrong person to ask because it didn't take me out of the scene because I had no idea how it was. I actually thought it was a pretty cool scene because it kind of because I remember, you know, there being another Lannister campfire scene back in the day that Maisie Williams was part of, and they treated her like shit. And I thought it was interesting because Game of Thrones does this a lot, where they foreshadow or they do opposite of what happened before, and they do that a lot of that kind of stuff. And this one was where, you know, reminding her of humanity, whereas, you know, when she was younger and more innocent, it reminded her of the evil or the darkness of the world. And so I really appreciated that. I thought the singing was pretty cool. I guess now that I find out that he's a famous singer, it makes a little more sense. But honestly, I'm okay with people upset about it, but what I don't appreciate is people attacking him. I heard that he deleted his from the hate. People need to do something else. I mean, people...
Twitter is ruthless. Yeah, good lord.
Like, I feel like 4chan is an insidious virus that has infected all these, you know, just everything in this world, and I despise stuff like that, so... But yeah, you know, it's whatever. Honestly, it didn't take me out of it, but again, I don't know who he is, so...
I thought the scene itself was a little long. I'm like, is something going to happen here? Is this leading to something? I mean, I didn't dislike the scene, but again, you know, we got so much going on. I'm like, do we need to spend 5 to 6 minutes at this campfire? I don't know.
Well, Arya did reveal that she's going to kill the queen, so, I mean, it ended up being something to the scene. So.
Speaking of this, out of turn, her old friend, or the king that died's half son, who was with Arya in the first season or two, where they sent off in the boat. Is he ever going to return, or do you think they're just going to hope people forgot about him?
Oh, Gendry,
Baratheon's bastard.
Everyone's going to return. I mean,
I thought he was still rowing on the boat.
I know. I mean, it's hard.
We're just supposed to assume that he's dead now because he wasn't a good swimmer or something like that. Yeah, or he couldn't swim.
They always end up bringing people back. Like, you know, the Hound, I think, is the biggest example. I think they bring him back. You know why? I think they find him. I think he's the dude that can blacksmith the dragon ice or the dragon glass. I bet you he's the one who can, you know, like, because I remember him being like a special blacksmith back in the day. Like, because I'm rewatching season one. And, you know, they consider him, like, huge prodigy when it comes to blacksmithing, because Ned Stark examined, like, this helmet he did, and he's just like, this is the finest work I've ever seen. So, I don't know.
No, I got you. Speaking of the Dragonstone, or the... What's the Dragonglass? So, what's his face? I'm not good with names. The fat guy who's now a Meister.
Sam Tarly.
He needs to get a message to Jon Snow about it. So I'm just, like, curious, how long does it take for these messages to get to people? Are we talking, like, months, years, weeks?
Well, I do know that, you know, rewatching the first season, they made a comment, and I remember this comment because I found it interesting that I didn't remember it, but Cersei, when Robert Baratheon and their people arrive Winterfell. I couldn't think of the most famous place. When they arrive from King's Landing in Winterfell, Cersei comments that they've been on the road for a month. So that kind of gives you an interesting timing on distances in Westeros. So if it takes a month from there, number one, Littlefinger must have transporting powers because he's like everywhere in all different places in the show, and it doesn't make sense. But if it takes a month, I'm assuming a raven may take a few weeks just because a raven's probably flying the whole time. So,
right. Yeah, it's just something that came up T-Hole with off might the top know of my head.
T-Hole's read the books, even though he can't remember shit from them.
Yes,
I don't know the time frame on flying pigeons. I'm trying to put together this.
We have to ask Mike Tyson.
Math, yes, he would know better than I, and probably better than most people, quite honestly. But yes, I'm putting it into a mathematical formula I'm creating, but it won't be ready for quite some time. So
I guess perfect. They go as fast as the plot serves it. So as it serves,
I would
the plot,
think like yeah. yeah, like a couple weeks, maybe a week. You know, I don't know.
All right, so yeah, it looks like Sansa and Jon. Are going to come to blows soon. Do you think that's going to happen this season? And what do you think is going to be the breaking point?
I don't know. If they do that, I'll get frustrated because I think there's been enough of this masochistic Stark stuff. I do get the point. I do like the scene where they actually talked about it instead of just, you know, they left it open. They're at least talking about what they did during that meeting. And I got to say, the meeting itself was pretty cool. I liked the fact that the Karstarks and the Umber... I liked seeing, you know, the Lyanna Mormont. She's crazy badass. But yeah, I'm okay with it if they don't abuse it too much, because if they telegraph it and then Baelish gets his way, I just feel like that's lazy writing. You know, I think they could make it, they could uplift it a little bit more, instead of just adding conflict where they don't really need it right now. Because I think the focus should be the White Walkers. It's okay to add some intrigue, but if they make it, like, bludgeonly, if they make it difficult to watch them just infighting the whole time, I think it'll just get really frustrating and really boring really fast, so.
All right, T-Hole.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just not the biggest Sansa fan. I mean, I've become to like her a little bit.
Did you notice that she had her hair like Cersei?
Like, no, but I did not notice that. But she did obviously mention that she basically, it's almost like she idolizes Cersei, you know, her ruthless ability. So I don't really have a problem with that. But I mean, Jon kind of snapped her up, and it's like he has leadership experience. So for her to keep popping off when he's talking and trying to handle stuff, you know, that's just kind of disrespectful. But at least he handled it, and they kind of talked about it afterwards. And then it was awesome when she shut up guy you just mentioned. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. Sleazeball.
Littlefinger.
Yeah, Littlefinger. Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of funny to see him. See her shut him up for a second, and what was her last quote she said to him?
Yeah, something
I'll
about
save yourself from saying something witty. I'll just assume it was something witty or something like that. And that was
it. Was beautiful.
Yeah, that was great. That was really great.
It was a dragon burn.
Right, it was a total burn. He hasn't received enough burn, so like, I mean, there's just no way Littlefinger can end up in any kind of power here. I'm not quite sure where he wants at this point.
And that scene too had the Tormund eyes, the thirsty eyes on Brienne. I just love it. He's just always those eyes are just crazy with the smile. Oh my god.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a creepy dude. I don't know, but I mean,
I don't know, man. You find someone in real life who stares at and grins at you like that, I think you find true love. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about in this society.
I find that restraining orders.
Right. All right. So, yeah, do we have any... I'll start with you, T-Hole. Do you have any predictions on the first big death this year?
Man, yeah, this one is tough. I know they're going to hit us with something crazy here, and I just
they
can't.
Have to.
So I don't... At one point... Excuse me, I was thinking maybe, you know, Jon Snow would maybe, since he already came back from the dead once, maybe he'd get killed again, but now I just really hope that doesn't happen. I don't think that'll happen.
I think he's in for the long haul.
So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe, God, who would it be? Maybe like a, who would just, I mean, Baldy, he could go, that would be weird. Or maybe just Littlefinger. Maybe it's time we just snap him out, but probably not, because he's a weasel and manages to stick around. Maybe, how about Jaime Lannister? How about I go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see
that. I still kind of doubt it, but I mean, that would be a shocker for sure. I don't know if they want to get rid of him as far as, because he probably has a lot of fans, but, you know, so did some of these other people.
Jay, I don't want to trigger any emotional stuff, because I know you don't want to go through all the death from Game of Thrones, but do you have any predictions this year?
I mean, Chul's right. I think we're going to see some big deaths just because we're reaching the end. It's my opinion that Jon Snow, Daenerys, Tyrion, those three principals, I think they make it all the way to the end. I think Arya makes it to the end, and I think those will... I don't know if they'll survive the end. I have this weird feeling.
Yeah.
I think Jon Snow will die in the last episode. I think that's pretty much written. I think Daenerys has a chance. I think Tyrion has a chance. I do know that half of them will probably survive. You know, for this season alone, I think you could probably see Tormund bite the dust. You could probably see the Hound bite the dust, depending on...
I'd hate to see the Hound go.
I would too. I think
God, he had some classic line. Boy, I still have been like practicing his lines or something. Yeah. He's like, I'm not scared. Tell you, I'm not scared of bald cunts like you, or some top knots not fooling anyway, or something bald cunt, or something like that. I mean, I was dying. I was recording it, like Snapchatting it, or something.
Like, and they asked him, too, like, why is he such, like, a grumbling cunt or something? And he's, like, experienced. And it's just like, oh.
I mean, he has just taken his verbal just abuse to levels, like, I'm just so, I mean, it is incredible. Like, yeah, he has mastered this.
For sure. I would
say cunt like six times. I mean, yeah. It's like a word I would never feel comfortable using, and but he used it like six times. I mean, that's impressive.
But I think it'll be something that moves the plot forward in a big way if the Hound dies. I could definitely see Jaime Lannister dying, but I think Cersei dies before Jaime, or at the same time. Read into that what you will. Out of any other deaths, I think the biggest surprise, which I don't think would happen, could be Arya. Maybe she fails on her quest to kill Cersei.
Yeah.
Maybe she meets the Red Priestess and she goes up north and changes the story. But I'm always afraid that Davos might bite the dust. But
I thought he died in the book. I don't even remember correctly, but I thought he did. But I could be tripping. I mean, but yeah. He's...
I'm not sure. But honestly, they're running out of big characters to kill, so I think...
Right.
I think the bigger surprise might be that everyone might survive the season, or at least most of the season. I know there's going to be a couple huge episodes, but, you know, like T-Hole said, if they kill Jon Snow this early, it'd be silly at this point. It'd just be like, yeah, whatever. How dumb is that? And you can't kill Daenerys because she basically propels the entire plot, you know, like it's a whole entire storyline. You just can't kill her off.
Damn dragons, though.
Yeah, she controls the dragons. Like, I mean, right. What are you going to do? Like, kill her off, and then they're just loose or something, and then it's
you
like,
kill okay, the dragons and kill the audience.
Time telling us about she's coming over. Yeah. Like,
I think it might be interesting. I think maybe some of the dragons might die. I think that's a big possibility.
I think one or at least one will probably die. I mean, you see those giants. Right. I was wondering about that before when I saw the White Walkers and some of those giants they killed were now on the team, and I was wondering that before. Like, are they going to turn into these guys? And they did. So that's pretty interesting. But then, did anybody find it weird that there wasn't, like, a single soul at this castle? Like, wouldn't have somebody else have gone and taken it over? At least, like, wouldn't there be one somebody left there?
I do feel like, though, that maybe the Dornish or someone who's already there, their allies, have already cleared it out for their arrival. I get the feeling that they didn't need to mention that. Okay. But, yeah, I'll admit
and it.
I did think about it, but I'm like, who's...
I'm like, damn, empty. Castle just sitting here for the taking, just right. Wide open, huh?
Yeah.
Just not a soul in sight. Interesting.
I was reading something from one of the Ringer guys that writes about Game of Thrones, and someone asked the same question. But yeah, basically, he said something about they probably saw the ships in the horizon and just cleared out, kind of like
I suppose Jason. That makes sense. It's probably a good idea. See a couple dragons coming, anyway.
I do think some of the main minor characters, especially, I think there's going to be a big naval battle between Euron and Daenerys' fleet. I think, you know, either, you know, her, and or Melisandre, you know, her two, I think one of them dies, or both may die. And I can't really make any of the calls, but I know T-Hole has read the books, and I don't know if he remembers this part, but what I'm looking forward to is at some point this season, I want them to reveal... an ice dragon, you know, that fights for the White Walkers. There have been rumors in the
God. Game
of Thrones universe that those exist, that they were able to turn some of the dragons from.
Okay, so speaking of White Walkers, that big dude who, as you guys know, I'm not good with names, but the giant who died so he's a White Walker because he died or what? Like
no,
I saw
that wasn't him.
That's not him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just making sure.
Well, I only because on I watched. Okay. Should we? What do we do?
Oh no! Keep going. No, my cat's just freaking out.
Yeah, a lot of people thought so. I read about this. A lot of people thought because he got the arrow in the eye, but then people look back at the scene and he got the arrows in the other eye. So this is the opposite eye. So they don't match. And plus he was never. He was like. That would take him dying in Winterfell and then someone dragging him all the way past the wall. That doesn't make much sense to me, so...
Right.
And then he would just all come right. Walking back, you know, towards the wall, so I don't, you know.
Yeah, I just want to kind of apologize because you're going to hear my cat freaking out in the background and I can't really do anything about it, but I think we're about to wrap up. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add about the season as a whole or anything, your thoughts about the first episode?
Just that it's going to be epic... usually I always would prefer Jay go first, but I was been wanting to say yeah, it looks like it's going to be epic. I love how it started out. We didn't talk about all about the opening scene, which was priceless. It had me rewinding it because I was like, wait a second.
I thought I just
watched the very end of the last episode, didn't she? And I had totally forgot she had already killed old dude. So I was like, what, or Walter Frey, I'd already forgot she had killed him, and I was like, wait, am I watching the right thing, or what the fuck's going on? So then I had to, like, rewind it and be like, oh, she's him, which I picked up pretty quickly, and then she had a couple of just great lines in there when she started saying, talking about murdering a pregnant woman and a mother of five, and I was just like, oh, yeah, and I thought that was an awesome scene. So I think this is going to be, you know, the show as it comes to a close, as Jay's mentioned, it's just going to, the epicness and the budget has gone up, so the epicness is just going to, this is going to be, I think, just nonstop.
The budget not only has gone up, but the episodes have gone down, so they're just dumping money into
yeah,
so
it's gotta, I mean, I think it's just gotta be, like, I mean, you've got the White Walker army, they've taken Dragonstone, the dragons are fully involved now, all the, I mean, like, the armies are coming over. I mean, this shit is about to go down in a major way.
I can't tell you how disappointed I'd be this season if there was just one, even just one mediocre episode. It's just, it cannot be possible, because not only are you lowering the episodes like we discussed, but the money going up, and the fact that we're getting half a season. If they do one, like, filler episode, I'm just going to lose my mind, because we don't deserve it, you know?
And all the chess pieces are in order for their... tons of plot lines, so there's no way that there could.
God help
possibly...
me if I see one sand snake. You don't even want to bring me on the show, man. That's when I'm gonna start tweeting. You know.
Uh oh. Go away from Donald Trump tweets.
It'll be a mix. It'll be Donald Trump and sand snakes. That's how bad it'll be.
Or Donald Trump is a sand snake.
Yeah, I can meme that. We can meme that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jay, plug your Twitter before we get out of here.
At Jay Wrong.
At Jay Wrong. Do you have anything coming up?
Besides finishing the rankings? Yeah, for content, just more rankings. Then we're going to start... as soon as the rankings come out, we generally start our preseason content schedule, which is we're going to go over strategy. We're going to go over a little bit more minutia, like two quarterback leagues, auction strategy. Rudy is doing projections this season, so those are going to be released in several weeks.
Yes.
Which is going to be great. And based on those, we're going to do a lot of fun stuff. And RCLs are going to open up next week. So,
woo-hoo!
Big stuff.
Oh, yeah. I did see Ben guy. Bink? Is it pronounced Bink? Ben K?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah, Ben K. Bink. I don't know what he goes by. But yeah, we have a...
So is that a new writer?
Yeah, we have a new contributor on board. I liked his stuff. He's been writing for several other sites for a while. We went ahead and grabbed him. He's going to be doing a little random stuff here and there, and also he may do some DFS stuff later on, I'm not sure, but I really like his voice right now, and he had a great piece today on Ty Montgomery. So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
And a great title to go with it.
For sure. The guy has his puns, so he's one of us now.
He is one of us. All right, T-Hole, do you want to plug the new Twitter?
It is Uncle Daddy... Beat it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't think there's a number on it right now. One of these characters on this show. I've been a lot on these, like, women's shows lately, like women's power movement, like the show Claws on TNT. This guy's name is Uncle Daddy, and it just fit, you know. So that's what I'm going with right now. Let's get the following back up.
What happened to your old account?
I don't know. One day I just got locked out of it. And another guy I used to work with, who dumped a bunch of his own money into some stupid political campaign, was dumb enough to leave his old Twitter up, and, like, you know, they dug this stuff up, and he had, like, you know, they were just roasting him in the newspaper. I mean, he had destroyed, he had to back out, do all this stuff. I'm not running for political office, but I do have a life outside of here where I have said inappropriate things in the past. I just felt it was good for a clean start. Let's just put it like that, and I wouldn't go on about it. But
all right, so... So
just
follow
to save
T-Hole.
Myself from future
definitely,
embarrassment, basically.
Definitely doesn't sound shady as fuck, T-Hole. Thank you for that.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at Razball_MB. I'm hoping to get a division preview up by this weekend, but it'll be player profiles and division previews from me. You can find Zach's stuff on the football site as well. You can find him on Twitter at Razzball_Zach. And I think that's pretty much it, guys. So thanks for listening.